B-Pod Studios.
Joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Ooh, does a great job covering the birds.
We talked to him yesterday.
The podcast is embedded. Yes, we talked to him yesterday, so we won't kill you again today. He is the great Tim McManus. T-Mac!
What's going on, guys? Happy Football Friday to you.
Happy Football Friday to you, my brother. We just need to know a couple things. We need to know the update on the injuries, where it all stands. Let's start with the two guys that I guess we have some hope, and that would be Alshon and Goddard.
Yeah, so not so much hope, at least based off what we saw in the practice field for Jeffrey. He wasn't out there during the initial warm-up periods when media had access to it. Dallas Goedert was going through kind of the calisthenics in the beginning, but then stopped doing that and went off to the side with the trainer just in the short time that we were out there. So I don't know that there's a ton of optimism there. I mean, they're holding out some hope that one of these guys could be available for him. I guess Goddard, you know, just outwardly showed the most by being on the field, but he didn't even, you know, go through all of the warm-ups. So it's a very real possibility. We know DeSean Jackson's out, and so it's a real possibility that Carson Wentz is without, you know, all three of those guys on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, what's the long-term, you know, kind of feel around DeSean and any possible surgery?
The long-term feel around him is that, you know, he's got an abdominal strain, and the plan is for him to miss Sunday's game and then Thursday's game against the Packers with the thought of coming back after that and allowing it to rest. You know, according to a source, there was one doctor who suggested that he have surgery on the abdominal strain, which would have sidelined him for 6 weeks. But he didn't want to do that because he wants to get back to the team as soon as possible. But I think when you have a situation where you have a doctor that's saying you should probably have surgery, and you're it's not realistic to think that he's going to come back, you know, in 2 weeks and just like, you know, the injury's going to be gone. I don't think that's the case. I think it's something that he's probably going to have to manage for the foreseeable future, with the hope that it doesn't, you know, hinder him too much and that it, you know, it doesn't lead ultimately to surgery.
What's the recovery time from that surgery?
6 weeks.
Back on the field in 6 weeks.
I mean, you know, T-Mac, I don't understand this.
Me neither.
Because, you know, shouldn't you just bite the bullet and
fix
not
it?
And not risk it?
I mean, I think that's a, you know, it's a thought. I think that it's, you can make that case. If you get the, you know, if you get the injury repaired and then you know or you think that you're going to be in decent shape once you get through the 6 weeks and then you're better off for the stretch run. I mean, there's definitely logic there. There's definitely logic there. But, you know, he weighed the options and the opinions and he decided to go this route. And I think, you know, some of it, what's driving it is just wanting to be there for the team.
And, I admire him.
I
love the dude. I do. Yeah. I love the dude. But I love him so much that I need to make sure he's there.
Because he means so
for
much.
For the long haul. Their offense is night and day when he's not on the field. It just is.
Yeah, Tim, is it? I know it's listed as now. It started as a groin and it's changed to an abdominal injury. Is this basically a sports hernia?
I mean, I haven't heard it termed as such, but I think if you kind of do, all right, they say groin. What I heard was abdominal. You know, that makes you think kind of lower abdomen. So, I mean, you connect the dots there. I haven't heard that, like, anybody say those words. But, you know, it sounds like it's in that region. I guess we can say that, right?
Yeah, semantics at this point.
All right, I got one more. Anything with Jalen Ramsey?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
Words out of my mouth.
We haven't heard anything real new on that yet. You know, I believe that they have interest, no question. You know, I think that they have been investigating this. They have been doing their homework. I think that they are going to be active on this front. But then it just kind of comes down to, number one, Jacksonville's kind of willingness to get rid of him. You're starting to hear some things of, you know, the owner really likes him and wants to pay him. And, you know, and ultimately he's going to have to sign off on that. And two, the price is going to be high because I think there's almost like universal demand for this guy. He's one of the best corners in the league, and who's going to be willing to pay the most in order to acquire his services if, in fact, Jacksonville decides to greenlight this thing? So, you know, I think we're in a period where the Jaguars are deciding exactly which course of action they want to go down, whether, you know, they can retain Ramsey, and if they feel it's untenable, I think this thing will start heating up pretty quickly. I think the Eagles will be in it, but whether they have the ultimate winning asking price is to be determined.
Well, I'm sorry, Jason. One real quick follow up. Cap wise, because where are they at in your eyes when you look at Ramsey and having to back the truck up for him? So look down the road. And of all the guys, you know Carson's done.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they in your eyes as far as locking in? Because you're going to have to pay him huge money. With a guy like Ramsey?
Well, we know that, you know, this group is very good at what they do in terms of massaging numbers to make it work. We also know that this is a veteran-laden roster that now has a franchise quarterback in at a pretty big number and a lot of guys that they're paying handsomely. I think one thing that's kind of appealing right now is, do you definitely have to do a deal right out of the chute? I think that there's an assumption that you do, but I don't know that that's definitely true. And at least in the short term, it's a very appealing contract in that he's making $17 million total over the next 2 years. And if you look at the way that the other top end cornerbacks are getting paid on, you know, on their second contracts, they're making like $14 to $15 million per season. So right now, he's a bargain. And you know, if you have to make it work long term, I think that they can absorb it. To answer your question.
That's my question. It's all about long term. You give up two first round picks, you need to re-sign him.
Yeah, you would think so. There's also, I mean, I think there would be, if you're giving up that much, you want to be thinking that you're past 2 years with him. But at the same time, you know, do you want to lock him in like to this huge contract right away when you haven't kind of lived with him yet? Given that he has a reputation of being high maintenance, so those are all the kind of variables that you have to weigh kind of pre-trade.
Hey, Tim, Carson Wentz, and we know about the canceled practice the other day, and he was not listed on an injury report at all this weekend. We heard the word maybe used sore heading into this game this weekend against the Detroit Lions. How do you see this game playing out? How do you see Carson performing? Maybe down a few weapons once again.
Yeah, well, I think that he's okay. I mean, everything that we've seen, everything that he said, there doesn't seem to be any kind of whispers behind the scenes like he's in, you know, all this pain. He's not acting like it's sore. Yeah, he even used that term and he took a lot of shots and that's certainly understandable. But I don't think he's going to be hindered necessarily. The same thing for a guy like Zach Ertz. I mean, he was in noticeable pain post game after taking a shot to the ribs. He's not on the practice report, but you have a lot of sore bodies along with some guys who are like injured. So it means that Wentz is going to be shorthanded. And I think that you're going to have to adjust, maybe your approach a little bit here because, you know, you're under this real possibility where your outside wide receivers are going to be, you know, Mac Hollins and JJ Arcega-Whiteside. And, you know, it puts a premium on Nelson Aguilar's performance. I think that this is a huge spot for him. I mean, this is someone that is in a contract year, wants the ball, you know, wants to be respected as this, you know, top end wide receiver. All right, man, here's your opportunity. It's right in front of you. You know, if you want to be a 1A, here you go. Here's a chance to be a 1A, because I think that they're going to be looking to, try to take Zach Ertz out of this game. I mean, logic suggests that because he's, you know, he's like the best remaining target. So they're going to do their best to kind of limit him. You know, you would think that the Eagles are going to turn more to a ground game. And I do think that they will try that a little bit. But there's got to be somebody in that wide receiver core that makes some plays for Wentz. if they want to avoid going 1-2.
You know who they need to use? They need to go back to week one and but use him out of the backfield. That's Darren Sproles, because now he's a matchup. So you got to go back to a guy who could be a matchup, and I would try to do some things out of the backfield with Sproles.
I think it's a good call, and this could be a potentially historic day for Darren Sproles. He's 41 yards away from becoming fifth all-time in all-purpose yards in the NFL, a remarkable feat for a guy who's been dismissed at every turn since he was a kid. And I think he's going to be up for this game besides that. And I think that you're right, that this could be a good time to utilize his skill set. And I think, you know, he was going to be the next wide receiver in against Atlanta because of how shorthanded they were. Wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of cross-training going on there this week in case he has to be deployed in that way. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, all hands on deck, and why not utilize Sproles more with these other guys down?
Yeah, well, we'll see how it plays out on Sunday, Tim. It's going to be a busy couple of days for you. Game Sunday, game Thursday. But it's not lacking for any storyline, that's for certain.
And Jalen Ramsey's saga in between, right?
So, yeah, right.
A lot to monitor.
Oh, man, a lot to monitor. We'll be monitoring you on Twitter and on ESPN.com. Tim, thanks for doing this. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, guys. You too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.